This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Profit advocacy group. Previously, I spent many years at Rice University as the Associate Dean for Student Affairs. And also previously, I served as the Dean of Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. I grew up in Puerto Rico, but Houston is my home and where I make a difference. I hope that you will help me make a difference and vote in the KPFT elections. I'm Bob Sanborn, and thank you for your support. Peace.
This is 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Thresholds. I'm George Ryder. With me, as usual, is my co-host, John McNamara. John?
Hi, George. Hello, Houston.
We're going to return today to a subject that we've covered before, probably not for 5 or 6 months, but it's an issue which was local to Houston for a while and is now possible it's going to be an issue throughout the state. It's the issue of predatory homeowners associations. Homeowners associations which, rather than operating out of the best interest of the people that they're supposedly representing, actually wind up exploiting those people in various kinds of ways. With me is David Kahn, who is a lawyer who's been working on this, has recently actually created a whole bunch of guidelines that the AARP, the American Association for Retired People, has been promulgating for homeowners associations. And Beanie Adolf. Beanie is a homeowner herself who's been involved in this issue from personal experience, has been putting together the fight back against these practices. David and Beanie, welcome to Thresholds.
Thank you.
Beanie, let me begin with you. Would you give us some examples of the kinds of things that these homeowners associations have been doing that could really deserve the term predatory?
I could, but David has an even better example. May I let him lead into one?
George, this is an example that comes from San Antonio, and this is an example that sort of appeared without our knowing anything about where it was coming from. Beanie and several other of our activists went to Austin to testify in opposition to a bill, and we'll be talking about it. At that hearing, a woman who none of us had met before, a pharmacist, came to tell the senators her personal experience with her homeowners association. And what I have in front of me is a copy of a letter from the homeowners association to this pharmacist. And it's quite current. This letter is September, the end of September. Here were some of the demands that the homeowner association has made on this homeowner. And I'm quoting now. Sunflowers are not an acceptable plant for use in this homeowner association. All sunflowers on your lot must be removed properly as to not cause further problems. Well, sunflowers. Soaker hoses, if used, must be properly covered with either rocks or, and George, I really don't know what they're talking about here, pre-approved mulch. I don't know what pre-approved mulch is. such that it cannot be seen by the public. John, you may have seen this kind of mulch that is invisible. I noticed in the newspaper today a report of a cloaking device being... they can now cloak copper cans, but so far as I know, mulch can be seen. The plants on your submittal for approval... This is a woman who made extensive efforts to try to avoid confrontation. The plans submitted on your submittal for approval are not detailed enough for complete review and approval. To avoid any misunderstanding, a new plan with names and photos of the plants you currently have, that's every plant on your lot, and any plants you would consider using should be submitted for approval prior to use. Now, just in case you think that this is a woman who only goes in for the growing life force kind of things, that's not true. She's actually, she does sort of solid stone. All crushed white stone must be smoothed to ground level. This stone, that's crushed white stone, should be harmonious with the homeowner association area. I don't know what you do to make your stone harmonious. Stone doesn't sing. But proper weed control must be used under the crushed white stone, i.e., black landscaping plastic, which is not particularly attractive in my personal opinion, or professional weed killer prior to putting down the crushed stones. You must also have this weed control under the current crushed rocks in place. Take them all up. Now, we didn't write this. There are 17 points I read, I think four of them. Lest you think they treat this as a minor issue, the pharmacist is warned, $50... for the second time you violate this rule, any of these rules, $100 for the third, and $200 for every other violation. And they note, the above referenced fines, which they impose, are in addition to fines permitted under the property code, which is literally $200 per day if a judge orders that much. Homeowner associations have been around for decades. The problems have been increasingly coming to light. We think of it as a cancer that's aggressively metastasizing. And what we're seeing is that, and what this letter exemplifies, is that homeowner associations are much more intrusive. I loved your phrase, predatory. Much more intrusive than a government. Governments don't even want to be that intrusive. You wouldn't find a city council member who would dare to say to someone, your crushed white stone must be harmonious with the city of Houston.
But they do act like municipalities, don't they?
They do.
And what gives them the authority to do so?
Well, sometimes they don't have the authority, they just do it. That's a lesson that some of us have taken to heart for other purposes, but in this case, it's not a good use of that lesson. The roots are deed restrictions, right? And deed restrictions have historical problems. I mean, we're all familiar with the use of deed restrictions to exclude people based on color or religion, race or religion. Deed restrictions in Houston, one could see a need to make sure that to be able to create communities that are all residential. In most cities, that's done through zoning. Houston doesn't have zoning. There's nothing inherently evil about creating a subdivision that is entirely for residential uses. I live in one, and I like it. And I don't want a gas station next to me, and I don't want a pig farm next to me. And I think that for those purposes, deed restrictions can make good sense. The problem is that the deed restrictions have been used as a foundation to assert control of one group of neighbors over their other neighbors. And it's already bad enough here, and what this new statute that you mentioned proposes to do will make things even worse. And Beeney has done a very careful study of that.
I'll go into that. I just want to reinforce what David just said about the fines. This is a letter from an attorney that a teacher had called me, and she said, I owe just about $300, she said, in assessments. I want to sell my house. But she said the attorney is demanding over $4,000. And she said the fees, he has one place, just legal fees, $2,357, no explanation, and more legal fees, $554, penalty and interest. They, in plain words, 204 says reasonable fees. And to these attorneys, that means whatever they choose.
I'm sorry, what's 204?
Oh, Property Code 204. That's what was passed in 1995, and that's what homeowner associations are suffering under in Harris County. It was, I might go into this, bracketed. I want to show you one other thing.
When Beeney says it was bracketed, what happened in 1995 was that some of the most aggressive homeowner association groups, including lawyers and management companies, got together, lobbied successfully for passage of a statute, and that's the Property Code Chapter 204, which gives, or at least purports to give, homeowner associations a whole lot of powers that you never agreed to when you bought your house. It expands, it says if you have deed restrictions that create a homeowner association, the homeowner association automatically gets 20-odd powers, including, and this is from the statute, all powers necessary and proper, whatever that means. And that was originally limited to Harris County. Within the last couple sessions, it's been expanded to counties surrounding Harris County, and now the same people who brought you this disaster in Houston want to expand it to the state of Texas.
And at this point, I want to say I am showing to the gentleman here all the laws that have been enacted against homeowners in the state of Texas from 1963 through...
And there are five pages of them.
Yes, and this does not...
There's about 20 laws.
And that's only coming up to that time.
And, 2003.
And it says there, this is written by the people, HOA, we call it industry, and they say watch for coming attractions. The coming attraction is what has loomed on the horizon. There have been two hearings, one before the two joint committees of the House and one before the Senate, and they were interim committees, meaning since the Texas legislature just meets every other year, this is preparatory to the 2007 legislative session. Anyway, the proponents have now put before us the Texas Uniform Planned Community Act. This is, when they say uniform, you just picture everybody just being in a strict manner. So
the image that comes to my mind, for those of you who remember A Wrinkle in Time, and the children go to a new planet, and everybody comes out of their houses at exactly the same time, all the kids, and they all bounce the balls at exactly the same time, and then they all go back into the houses when mom calls them to dinner at exactly the same time. This bill really does attempt to force one model of living on absolutely everybody in Texas.
Including people who do not, only if you're in a homeowners association, presumably.
Except that they make it very easy to, or much too easy, to create
it.
Homeowner associations.
How do you create one? Let's say I decided I wanted to create a homeowners association in my neighborhood.
Well,
what would I do?
There are two different ways to do it. One is if you're a developer. Mm-hmm. And you may buy 100 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is a common model for development across the country now, and the developers then seek to build a lot of houses. And they create as a part of that deed restrictions that that create a homeowner association. And in fact, in some states, in Nevada, or Nevada, there are cities that are actually forcing developers to do this, even if the developer doesn't want to. But if you own the land, you can put deed restrictions on all of the land, and you can say, here's what I want as a set of deed restrictions. And if you want to buy into it, you can, and if you don't, you don't have to. Under Vini had a list of laws, and the original laws said that if there was no homeowner association, say in Montrose or in the Heights, and a group of neighbors wanted to create one, they could do so. There were a certain set of processes, but any homeowner who wanted to opt out could choose not to be a part of it. And basically that was an issue of consent. If you had bought your house, you had to agree to be part of the association. Increasingly, what the statutes have allowed is to force homeowners who don't want to be part of associations to be joined in if a certain percentage of their neighbors, say 80%, want to force them to join. So if you wanted to create one, John, you would go and try to get, you'd define an area, and then you'd say, I want to get a homeowner association. John's looking really excited about this.
And I go in cahoots with a lawyer who can then put a lien on people and so forth.
Well, you would, professionally, I'd say, yeah, you'd be advised to consult a lawyer. You'd also be advised to consult a psychiatrist, but that's or your, you know, whatever your faith healer, your particular choice is. But yes, the rules are extraordinarily complex. Things that, you know, I might say to you, John, look at your deed restrictions. That could tell you what you could or could not do. So many houses in Houston have deed restrictions. Beanie's house has deed restrictions on it. And people tried to leverage those deed restrictions to create, to force her to be in a mandatory homeowner association. And she fought back and succeeded.
Yes. At that point, I'd like to say when... For one thing, we lived there about 40 years at that time when deed restrictions about an inch thick were given to us. And since we had never had any problems, I really wasn't concerned until a flyer came around said, read carefully before signing. So when I read them, I realized that we would be forfeiting our constitutional rights, which got me very angry. But what was I wanted to point out, at one meeting where the board members were there who were trying to force it on us, they had, I think, a management company and an attorney, and they stood up and they said, if we come in, we will take over everything for you, and you won't have to worry about a thing, and it won't cost you a thing. And I sat there and I said, excuse me? I said, you're a business and you're going to come in and do our work and it's not going to cost us anything. I said, that really smells. And they were all insulted. But I was insulted that they thought we were that stupid. And so that's when I began to study. And that's when I found out that that about the foreclosure issue, in which at hoadata.org we learned that there are over 1,000, and that's a conservative estimate, foreclosure filings a year in Harris County. Our analysis was so reserved, we did not want one error. And we have not had one error, because believe me, I know they have gone over it. So they turn their back and they don't pay any attention to this. And now, since it did end, we finished it in 2001, their comment was, that's dated. Well, I have to tell you, even though I'm a little old lady, I have one son who is an attorney who helped me get much of the data, another who manages the website who got much more data, and then a grandson who teaches statistics. And so I asked him for a comment about this data that is from there, and his comment was, Grandmother, if it were about demographics, voting, or something, It would be data. What this shows is that given this power, the results are devastating. He said, this stands up forever.
Let me say what Beanie's referring to is a graph which shows the number of foreclosures, I guess. Is that correct?
Foreclosure filings.
Foreclosure filings by homeowners associations against homeowners in the association went up from about 220. I guess that's throughout the state, or that's...
No, the Harris County.
That's just Harris County. Up to 1,400 in 2001 or 2002?
Yeah.
2001. And the increase began in...
Well, it really jumped with the 95 passage.
Yeah, it was it was increasing some from 1990 to 1995.
Because and then, of the 87 Inwood versus Harris decision by the Supreme Court.
Oh, I see. So that was the beginning of it. And then this 1995 law produced a further increase. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that our listeners might not appreciate about this is it sounds as though it's as though, you know, a group of neighbors who are sort of finicky managed to get hold of the homeowners association, and they're just sort of imposing their values on others and using the power that's been granted to these homeowners associations to assess fines and ultimately foreclose. So it seems as sort of a kind of, well, you know, just keep your finicky neighbors off the board, so to speak. There's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yes. What it is, I think, as far as anybody who says that he or she likes it, it's control. Oh, this control over your neighbor and do it the way I say. We see this all the time. And whenever we put forth something, like, say, with Arshia, where she is being harassed and intimidated, you'll have one person, probably a board member, saying, we need this control. We like this. Most of the people who wrote us when we first put forth our HOA data website were on the board. Almost inevitably. May I add one other thing? I told you the attorneys are a big force. The others who benefit greatly are the management companies. And I have just here for this particular HOA, the monthly management fee is $39.35 per month. But...
That's per household?
No, this is for the fee to service the thing. Mm-hmm. But then they get, for every maintenance DR citation, $10. For every violation turned over to an attorney, $10. We call those bounties. And I was reading...
In other words, the management company gets a standard fee for doing the management of the homeowners association, but then for every infraction that they assess against the homeowner, they get a bonus.
So they ride through and ooh.
So their profit interest is in,
yeah,
in making
George,
as much trouble as possible.
There's nothing you can do about that. I mean, if you get a letter and it says, pay us $10, okay, because your garbage can is too close to the curb, or your grass isn't short enough for the taste of whoever happens to be driving by that day, or maybe you've started to grow sunflowers, or in the case of one of my clients, she grows a butterfly garden. She likes colorful flowers and attracts butterflies and hummingbirds. Those are, you know, wild animals. There's nothing you can do realistically. The very same people who make the rules, that's the board of the homeowner association, they interpret the rules, they enforce the rules, or they use the management company to do that. And if you want to have a hearing, your hearing is in front of the very people who wrote and are enforcing the rules. There's nothing like what we have for separation of powers. Now, if in Texas you somehow manage to force your way into court to challenge this $10 fee, and you lose, you get the privilege of also paying the attorney fees of the association. If you win, you don't get your attorney fees back.
This is part of the 1995 law, or this is before that?
That predates the law and continues to this day. The difference on this issue for the 1995 law was that many deed restrictions did not give the associations powers to make rules like keep your grass 3 inches, like we have an approved list of plants and any other plants are no good. And what the 1995 law, that's the chapter 204, did, or at least it, this is how the associations interpret it, is it gives them power to make rules where none existed. That is, you may have lived, as Beanie did, and I've lived in my house 15 years. Beanie's been there
since
1960, plus.
Yeah.
1960, that'd be 45 years. I don't know, you guys, how long you've been there. But if you're in a deed-restricted subdivision and the association board chooses to do so, many of them simply assert the power to make new rules. Now, you said, well, keep your finicky neighbors off the board. The reality is many, many, many of us have no interest whatsoever in sitting on boards and regulating the conduct of our neighbor. Yeah, we have a problem if a house is vacant, okay, and it attracts a drug dealer or it attracts kids to play in a junk car, and there are existing nuisance laws to deal with that in all the parts of Texas if there's a serious problem next door. But most of us are not interested in spending great amounts of time telling our neighbors how to live their lives at this incredibly detailed level of harmonious, crushed, white stone. And by the way, she can't use marble pavers, and there's green metal edging that, although it's good enough to sell in Home Depot, is not good enough for this particular mm-hmm. subdivision. Many homeowner associations work tolerably well, but some of them get taken over by these finicky people, if that's the word you want to use. And once that's done, there's not much you can do, because the machinery that uses these lawyers and these management companies is, it's a very powerful machinery, and there's no way that an individual can effectively fight back.
Then how did Beanie win?
Oh. Well, I won because I had some very astute neighbors who, I had never heard of an HOA, so I really didn't know. But one had worked for a title company, and she read everything that was there. Another was an attorney, and so they alerted the neighbors. And so whereas generally we had maybe 6 or 7 people who showed up at a board meeting, I have to tell you, I think my husband and I attended 3 civic club meetings the whole time we were there. So we were not activists. And so when these people alerted us, they held weekly meetings, asked for donations, and instead of just 5 or 6 or 10 people showing up for the election, 400 showed up.
Wow.
And there was one other very important thing. The League of Women Voters came and monitored the election and the voting. Mm. This is the horrible thing. In all of these now, the elections are controlled by the attorney and the management company with their vested interest. And so HOAs are touted as perfect little cities of democracy, and it is just the opposite. There is no way you can get out, or it's so slim that you are just locked in. It is a very sad situation.
And what I want to underscore about what Beanie did, and she tends to de-emphasize the role that she played, literally going door to door, it's really a classic organizing effort to protect independence. And so in her subdivision, where it was historically a voluntary civic club, mm-hmm. as long as they did good things, people supported them. If they didn't do good things, you know, I mean, this is ought to be the free market, right? That's what we're about in Texas, right? If they did good things, they would get support, and if they didn't, nobody went. And she went door to door organizing to say, look, it's worked pretty well for 40 years. Let's just keep it there. You drive in her subdivision, it's beautiful. What we're now facing is an organizing effort across the state. And we're helped because there have been other states, let's put it this way, are further ahead. In Florida, LULAC, SEIU, fair housing organizations have gotten together with this group of homeowner activists. The umbrella group that we work with there is called Cyber Citizens for Justice, CCFJ on the web, .net. ccfj.net. And they have been organizing literally across the state. It's another huge state. It's sort of oddly shaped, right? So you have a lot of communications issues, neighborhood by neighborhood, to get people to inform their state reps, their state senators, we don't want this. In California, Florida is a pretty much Republican state for this purpose anyway. In California, pretty much a Democrat state for this purpose, community by community, to the point where Florida passed limits on powers to foreclose, and it was virtually unanimously, if not actually unanimously, adopted by the legislature. The governor, this is in his still purely Republican days, the governor vetoed that bill, but the bill came back in a somewhat weaker form in this year, or last year. Governor Schwarzenegger signed a limitation on the power of associations to foreclose. So in Florida and in Texas and to some extent in Nevada, Arizona, Virginia, homeowners have been successful in reining in the out-of-control associations, making it so the laws don't allow abuse. And we need to get the same thing going here.
No, yeah, not in Texas.
Texas is, we are behind.
Yes.
To what extent are these management companies pushing this TUPCO law to sort of make these homeowners associations the kinds of rules that are applied in Harris County? And for one thing, why was it done in Harris County only to start with? Apply now throughout the whole state.
You want to take that?
Harris County is easy to see, where there was no zoning in Houston. And if you don't have zoning and you want to secure residential neighborhoods, you have to have deed restrictions that secure, that say it shall only be residential, or in some subdivisions what you'll see is, except for the properties on the edge of the subdivision, no commercial, no business uses. And as I say, that at that level it's pretty innocuous. It makes sense to have that choice. Some people prefer to live in communities that are economically integrated with businesses on the same streets as homes, and some people don't, and the deed restrictions grew up that way. But the industry to enforce those deed restrictions really took off after they were able to enact that bill.
May I say one, in answer to your question, you said who is promoting this? The TUPCO law, which is what we want to talk about, was written by the Texas Association of Lawyers. So Sharon Ruler was the one who presented it at both the House and Senate. Then the CAI, the Community Associations Institute, is promoting it. Then a lady...
And these are lobbying groups?
No, these are the... They have lobbying groups.
They
like the CAI
lobbying.
Has TLAC. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't have the lady's name with me, but she represents the developers. There were four at the table. The other was a gentleman who represented the real estate interest. He said he opposed TUPCO, but I have to tell you, he didn't oppose it from the homeowner point of view. It was how it infringed on real estate people. Okay, so it was self-interest in what he protested.
Well, this statute, one of the odd things about it is it adopts a one-size-fits-all approach. It literally says, this shall be the law in Texas, can make no exceptions for cities, can make no exceptions for individual homeowner associations. So you can't be stricter in terms of the deed restrictions that you draft. There are absolute limits, which in some cases is a good thing. And you can't be less restrictive. All homeowner associations have to have a certain amount of power. I think we should go back to the other question. If you ask me, are deed restrictions good? They can be good. That's not the issue. The issue is, should the power of the deed restrictions be leveraged to such an extent that it's not your home anymore when you buy it? And that...
May I interject something here? Okay. As I say, we one out. We kept an HOA from coming in. We have deed restrictions. I have been on the board now in defense because, needless to say, the HOA is always there, ready to take over. We have deed restrictions, but no one goes through the neighborhood looking for infringements on the deed restrictions. If a neighbor complains about another neighbor, then we say what section, because we have five sections or six, then we say, let's look at your deed restrictions. If it is not against them, we say, sorry, it is not against the deed restrictions. If it is not against the city ordinance, then please try to work it out with your neighbor. If it is against the deed restrictions, then we write a letter. There's no attorney called in, and we try to work with them. But it is only if a neighbor complains. If the neighbors are satisfied with the situation, then we are too.
Now, is this also true of townhouse developments and condominium developments and so forth?
Sure. I mean,
so it's not just freestanding homes.
That is correct. There are some differences in the circumstances, but there are some similarities in the problems. The differences in the circumstances are, if you think of a classic condominium, one of the high rises, we have them in Houston. They're more common as co-ops or condos in New York, but we certainly have them here. There's not a lot of individual grounds. So the issue of, if you're in one of the high rises on the west side of town, nobody's going to be telling you what you can and can't plant in your garden. You don't have a garden in the same way, or a front yard in the same way that I do in my single family subdivision house. The issue of regulating how you paint the outside of your house, the common regulation in subdivisions is they regulate the color of your house. We're not going to have San Francisco and Houston. There are going to be three approved colors. That's not an issue in the condos because the condo itself is responsible for maintaining the exterior of the house. In a condo, there may be issues about noise. One can understand if you're living on the same floor and literally right next door to somebody that it makes more sense to have some limits that may be enforced about noise, say after bedtime on a school night kind of thing. We still do see issues in townhomes. You can have a yard in the townhomes, so some of the same problems. Townhomes are sort of in between the condos and the single family homes. The issues tend to be more, economic oriented. There may be a variety of charges, some of which make sense. In a condo, you do need annual assessments, maybe even monthly assessments for maintenance. If you don't maintain the roof of the condo, it's not just the people on the top floor who get wet and suffer. We have had stories of, or examples of, overly aggressive enforcement of charges. So had a lady who called, and she was indeed behind 2 months on paying a bill, $400. It was the first bill she'd missed. There had been a hardship in her family. And the $400 she was prepared to work out and pay, she just couldn't pay it all right now. And the lawyer put a lien against her house and added to the $400 bill his fee plus the lien charge, which by the time I first heard about it was costing her an additional $1,100. Now, she didn't have enough money to pay the $400, much less the $1,100. So we see some examples of that hyper-aggressive rush to judgment, rush to impose bills against people, for no discernible reason. The issues that we're talking about for TOPCA, however, are limited by the statute itself to being single-family subdivisions. There already is a Condominium Act across the state.
We're going to take a short break here. This is a call-in show. The format today is going to be a little bit different because the last about 6-7 minutes of the show I want to devote to another issue in town that's kind of urgent. There's a meeting tomorrow to talk about police enforcement of immigration laws in Houston, which potentially could change the entire environment, particularly for people who look like they might be immigrants. So we have a short period of time for questions. If you want to call in, 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. I want to get to one of...
No freedom without virtue. No science without love. Pure-hearted fools over tyrants, when push comes to shove. It's the same old story and the same old song, clear channel from shore to shore. I don't hear freedom ring anymore. No halo around my head, Lord. No wings on my back. As faith and charity remain here, it's not hope that I lack. But by birth we're free, and it seems to me we've been here before. I don't hear freedom ring anymore. In the name of Jesus, while the seasons swiftly roll, coined the term collateral damage to describe a human toll. If you raise your voice.
Okay, we have a couple of callers on the line, or at least one. One of them just dropped off. Okay, well, let's go to this caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I just wanted to mention that in a condo that I know of, there is a board that is working with the home association board that is working together with the managing company. Together somewhat that it looks like they're working against the will and the interest of the homeowners, and I would like to hear from you the legality and the legal issues that goes with that, and how, for example, they raise the maintenance fees over 20% last year. And I understand this is, you know, there is a limit in Texas. Legally, it cannot go over 10%. But they did it anyway. So how can you stop them, and what are the legal powers that homeowners may have in such situations?
All right. So how you can stop them, there are, I think, three routes that you can take. The first is you can get together a group of other owners. It's difficult, even in a condo setting where people have fairly easy access to each other, because many people don't want to get involved. But if the association is doing something improper, the best first step is to get together a group of owners, because fighting any of these battles by yourself
tends to make people vulnerable to retaliation, and that's true in the homeowner, in the single family subdivision context as well. The issues in condos differ from the issues in the single family subdivision because of the common property. And what we sometimes see on these excessive increases, and I you know, there are two reasons why the increases could be made. One is you might have a disaster on your roof and they simply need money to fix it. But we also sometimes see that in the condo setting, absentee owners who want to change the character of the of who lives in the condo, and they want to force out people who they consider undesirable, and one way to do that is to make it too expensive. And so they will increase the annual assessments without any other good reason to do it. So you need to have a group of people, and if you have enough people, you can actually vote the board to change, or recall people, depending on your deed restrictions. The second route that is theoretically available is that you can file a lawsuit. Most of these lawsuits are expensive, time-consuming, and while your, or hopefully your group has hired a lawyer, the association is spending your money, and they may increase the assessments even more to pay for their lawyer, or their lawyer will be paid for by an insurance policy. The third route that some people have had success with is to contact the Attorney General's office. Or if there is misuse of funds, and we've seen some reports of that as well, condo board members taking the condo funds and using them for their own personal benefit, you can try calling the district attorney. My experience is that mostly the district attorney is not terribly interested in these disputes, and likewise, mostly the attorney general is not. This is one of the problems with homeowner associations. They are small enough to be under the radar of political attention. And I suppose the third thing is you can try to get media attention. That is much more likely if you have a group of homeowners who are all up in arms, and then the media is interested, has been interested in covering problems like that.
And you're trying to organize really a more political response, to the, particularly to the state laws. Tell us a little bit about the organization that's being put together.
Well, there are a group on our board. We have seven ladies, two gentlemen. The name of our organization is the Texas Homeowners for HOA Reform Incorporated. Our website is www.texashoareform.org. And we have just decided that independently going up each year to the legislature has been totally ineffective, and because of lobbying, which I think everybody knows with all the scenes that have taken place in Washington, well, the same scenes play in the state house also, and we do not have funds for lobbying. We figure what we want are our legislators to represent the people, and so we want to get people across the state coming in droves to stand up for their rights and to fight this TUPCA. May I tell about TUPCA very quickly?
Sure.
TUPCA is the Texas Uniform Planned Community Act. To tell you quickly what some of the things are, what it says.